November 4th. I'd like to call the Historic Preservation Committee meeting to order. The first order of business is the roll call. Capuchano Simmons?
Here.
Fowler?
Here.
Juno?
Here.
Mooney?
Here.
Roth is here. Fredericks?
Here.
And Genrich is excused. Item number two, modify and or adopt the agenda. Any changes, Trevor?
No.
Any other changes that anybody sees?
Make a motion to adopt.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries. Item number three, approve minutes from July 24th, 2019. Seems like a long time
ago. I know. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
We have a motion.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Yeah. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The motion carries. Item number four, announcements.
Trevor. Sorry, that was Dina and Cecile. Motion and second.
I think she got it first. You were.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm roasted.
All right. No announcements.
No announcements. Anything from the committee? Okay. Item number five, public appearances. We have the public.
I'll talk on the public.
Okay. Item number six, action regarding approval of certificate of appropriateness request from Thomas O'Rourke for replacing doors at 535 Green Avenue.
And
oh, can I have public appearances? One,
just sure.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. Historic Galloway is going to be putting together a program to recognize 100-year-old homes, century homes. There's century families that have been recognized throughout the state. And we're going to start recognizing century homes and hopefully century subdivisions. Okay, that's it.
So
and we run them through. Ideally, we run them through you, and you can give them a certificate. We'll do anything. We'll do all the labor.
Okay, that sounds like. You think there are there any? Are there?
Oh yeah, there's yeah. There's a lot of them. And then every year there's new ones come up.
There'll be new ones. Pretty soon I'll be 100 years old myself.
We'll give you a certificate.
If anybody's still around, you can give me one.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Okay, so now we're on item number six, which I read before.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Do we need to discuss at all? Item number six? Or are we okay with... Trevor, do you want to...
So, would you... Tom is available by conference call if we wish to call him. Otherwise, I think they're kind of back and forth between the doors shown here. So between this style door for the front or this style door.
We found a one that we like a little bit better than that.
Maybe I'll just give Tom a call real quick.
What does it mean, Trevor, when it says staff recommends or staff does not recommend? Who's staff?
That'd be me.
Oh, okay.
Like we have seen Trevor recommend.
Right.
You have one? The thing I remember from the staff recommendation.
Tom.
Hey, Tom. You're in the air.
Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hello. Trevor.
Hey, Tom.
Can you hear us?
He did. He's just looking to get out of the meeting.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Okay. Great. Right. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so Tom, we just brought up the item, and
okay.
I don't know. Do you want to bring the committee up today as far as what you guys are talking about for the front door? I guess is the item that is possibly changing.
Yes, the front door. My architect out here says if we're going to put an ADA on the side, if you can get an ADA front door, it would be perfect. I want it to balance. The opening, I can either do two single doors at 30 inches each, or I can do, I'm trying to get Thermal to build me a 10-inch side light instead of a 12-inch, and have two side lights in a 36-inch door to make it look similar to what the city put on their pump house in the main area of town and still be ADA. I don't have to be ADA on that door, but I think it would look better. And from what I understand, the concept when they built the pump house and the gas stations up there, they tried to get them to blend in with the community more as a house than a commercial district. And the 36-inch single door will make it look more like a house than a commercial. So that's why we wanted to get that. And I think the visual for the historic preservation group will fit just about perfect.
Tom, I passed out the photos that we talked about earlier today.
Okay, good.
That's what it is now.
The 12-inch side light. And we're trying to get them to do it as a 10-inch side light, so it will fit without having to make the opening. It's like I'm about an inch too small for the 12-inch opening. But either Thermal or somebody else should be able to make me a 10-inch side light and have two side lights. Because I want it to balance.
So which one is being proposed?
Number one. And the third one in this list is pretty much what's there
is
now.
The existing.
Yeah.
And then the fourth page were the different options that were available.
Yeah. So the Trevor's point was, in his comments, was that the French door would be more historically correct, I think. If I'm reading.
It would be more historically correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's the way it was built.
Right.
Right.
And so I'm a little confused about why we want to make it look like a residence, because it's not a residence. It's a historic.
But the reason they did a double door was to make it open large enough to get equipment in and out.
Yeah, I understand that.
Right.
So I'm just saying that one perspective on it is that in order to keep the integrity of what the street view looks like, you know, since it was built as a commercial or industrial building, not a private residence. You know, all these other doors look great for, you know, I'd like to have one on my home, you know, with the two side-bys and the glass. But
well,
I'm just trying to articulate what Trevor put in his notes to see if anybody else.
It was more like just to be ADA compliant than anything else.
Okay.
And as long as the city is fine with not having to be ADA compliant on the front, and as inviting, I'm okay with 30-inch doors. It was just to make it more appropriate for the general purpose of the building. Because we've now got the ADA door on the side.
Yeah, and I can understand that. I mean, that makes, you know, we want it to be, you know, approachable.
The door was abandoned 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was boarded up.
Yeah.
So, and that door hasn't been used in 50 years.
Yeah.
So that's what it looks like. So the doors were converted to windows on the inside.
Yeah. So it's kind of a stretch then to say, well, it has to look like it did when they built it, because it was never really used that way. And ADA compliance kind of might take precedence.
Well, so this side door is, they're ADA. They're only required to have one.
Uh-huh.
We'd like to have two.
Mm-hmm. So the side door meets their requirement for ADA accessibility. That the front doors were used up until, I believe, 98, and then that's when they boarded them up.
Mm-hmm. No, I think
No, I know a water department guy that boarded them up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good. And then also on, and then the front door, if you look at the pictures from the memo, you can see in the color picture that they never really used it. It was decorated as a front, as a residence. Mm-hmm. But the primary use was when they added the garage, all the industrial stuff, all the equipment went in and out through the garage and then through the side.
Looks like they had a tree planted.
Well, they're just on either side?
Yeah, it's just it's the perspective in that angle. Mm-hmm. That, that
so
tree there looks like.
Is the side door going to be the main entrance then to the
business? No, that is only going to be used for ADA. People go in and out of there. I want to make the front door the main entrance.
Okay.
But we need to comply with ADA. I needed one door that was at least 36 inches wide.
So I guess from staff's perspective, and Tom and I spoke on this earlier, the main concern is I think the top priority should be maintaining the existing openings if possible. We don't want to make them bigger or smaller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doors are similar to paint in that they can come and go. Especially nowadays, the doors they produce are just, you know, they're pretty much the same. You know, so it is hard to find doors, and that's kind of a common discussion nationally.
Right.
So.
So, Trevor, is your recommendation still as you printed it in our...
Yeah, so I guess my recommendation first is number one, are the openings going to stay the same? Tom says they will, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess my preference would be to go with the double swing doors, but that's ultimately a committee decision. Again, it preserves the street view history of the building, but I don't architecturally.
I think the best example is exactly what the city of Elway did with the other pump house, and their perspective of putting a single swing door, because that door would have had the same door as this one originally. That's why Trevor had you send me that one this morning.
Well, that was a different function because that door was the main door to our town hall back then. Whereas that building up on Webster had had the utility access to the garage doors on the side.
Right.
So this building back when it was constructed in 1925. And Tom, I have the interior up for the committee's review.
Okay.
So this was actually a wall, and this garage was added a couple years later. So the original intent was to have the large equipment coming through here.
Sure.
It's likely once this garage was added that this became the main way to bring the equipment in and out.
Right. Through the garage.
Yeah.
So if we do the two 30-inch doors in the front, which doors would it be? Would it...
It would match exactly what's on the side door, the ADA door, just a smaller version.
Would it have the six windows in it, with the 3x3 grid, or would it have the 4x4 grid?
It can go either way. The last one, the one we looked at this morning, was one big window on the top. And I'm not sure which one he has right there. They're all in the same venue, whether it's a six-light or a four-light or a one-light window in the door. when it was built, there were no windows in the door. But I think it would definitely benefit having a window in the door.
This garage door is like 3 by 2, and they're square. This is 4 by 2, and they're more rectangle. I'm just talking out loud, like, it's going to come to tell.
If I can just back up just a little bit, in the memo, there's items A through G, and you know the code says that it'll be approved unless A is the only one that applies to this building, adversely affect an exterior fixture. So you're not going to be changing any of the exterior fixtures adversely. You're going to be putting in a better door that can be replaced, so it's not a permanent door that can be replaced. It's not like you're knocking out a wall or taking off the tiles. So as long as it's an improvement and not a detriment, I think that you know, the committee can move forward with it. And then Tom doesn't object to putting in whether you want the 6 lights on there or the style. But from an accessibility standpoint, a single door is more accessible with a 36-inch wide instead of having somebody in a wheelchair try and open 2 doors. And it's much easier for somebody in a wheelchair or with a walker to get into a single door that's 36 inches wide than having to open up 2 doors because you have pins and all sorts of things, so you need help getting in the door. So we'd like to make it as accessible as possible, and the village is eventually going to be building a sidewalk in front of there when they redo the street in 2 years or 4 years. So we'd like people to be walking in and being able to read it. And you know, as everybody gets older, you have a lot more people who are a little intimidated by the narrow doors.
And you're not changing the size.
Right, so that can always be changed. So the windows, now these windows here, I don't know when they were put in.
Yeah, but
those are aluminum windows.
Yeah, but so you know, whatever you put in here, the opening for whatever size doors go in stays the same.
It stays the same.
So yes.
So that's going to look the same.
Right.
So maybe that's one way we can kind of tie it back historically. At least we're not bricking off part of it and making a single door. So.
Has this been like run by? It's a nationally recognized property, right? So if you do work, you're entitled to tax credits.
Right.
No, that's a tax credit.
Okay, because I was wondering if you talked to the about it.
So, the question
part
is
of
is,
that.
Because we haven't applied for tax credits,
okay.
They're just going ahead and doing it. Then, and you guys are qualified to make the decisions at the local level because there's no tax credits involved.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody have opinions, comments?
I just have a question. So right now the question is if you go with 2 doors or just 1? Is that kind of the question there?
I think pretty much, yeah.
Is everyone okay with the side door, garage doors? Dina, I know you were commenting with the different amount of windows. Do we want them to be uniform?
Oh, they'll all matter. Every single thing will be an injection venue, whatever we decide to be going with.
So, like, if you like the ones with the more lights on them, because that's what a window is called and a door is a light.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you like it with more lights, you can select the garage door, and then it's easier to select the garage door lights because you have a wider selection on the single door. So you can have those lights match. So if you're going to have the smaller ones or the bigger ones.
Door and window stands.
The only reason we changed the light from going from a six light to a zero light to a one light window was just to make it less busy. The six light to match the aluminum windows that are in. The single light matched the window that was there now. So we were just trying to figure out, make it as clean and simple as possible.
There are other choices that are on the back page there.
I think, well, I like the double doors better. The single door, we made a very good point on if you do want to make it ADA accessible, having one door for them to get in is a lot better and more convenient to whoever's using it. So for that, go with one door.
Yeah, it's kind of a compromise.
With more lights.
Yeah, more lights, yeah.
Okay. And do you like the small, the back page are the options? So we're talking the door with six lights on it instead of two lights? Because I can do six, I can do three, I can do four.
Well, that the six matches some of the windows.
Right, so the six lights.
I think it's probably fine to do that.
So that would be item number two.
Yeah.
That would be page two.
Yeah. And I kind of think that although we're trying to restore a historic building, it's not like some buildings that are restored to continue the same original function that they were. It's not a hotel that was a hotel back then, and it's still a hotel.
Right.
It's going to be a private residence now, and it has different needs. So I kind of talked myself out of needing to see French doors.
Oh, it will be a private residence?
It's going to be a combination.
So
it's going to be like an art studio, Airbnb with a residence in it. So the final configuration hasn't been determined. That's how we can get the utilities in.
But it's not going to be a pump house.
No.
So we don't have to make it look like a 100-year-old pump house.
I'll second your motion.
Did we have a motion?
Yeah,
yours is
a motion.
So could you state your motion again? I'm sorry, I was a little slow.
No, I guess I got to go back to what I originally said. But I just said, well, I agree. I like the look of the double doors. The single door being ADA accessible is
more important.
It's more important to, you know, the functionality of it is more important to who's going to be coming in and out of the property. Therefore, I'm motion for the single door.
And the other garage door and the side door are okay as presented.
With the six lights.
Right, with the six
with
lights.
With more lights.
More lights.
More lights.
Okay.
So that would be number two on the...
Number two.
We have a motion.
Second.
You have a second? Any discussions?
Trevor, does that carry all the way over to the garage door now too, which I'm not doing today, but I will be doing in the near future?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It'll match.
Yeah. I guess does do you concur? Okay.
Okay. So we've had motion and a second and some discussion. So all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. The motion carries.
Good.
Have fun.
Thank you, gentlemen. Ma'am.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Can you call me later tonight? I'm at home. All right. Thanks, guys.
So this was a follow-up discussion, and they only gave me six, so Donna, if you don't mind sharing. This is a follow-up discussion from July. If you recall, I provided the committee with a single sheet, front and back. There's a summary of what was in here. And so this is, again, put out by the Wisconsin Historical Society, paid for through some grant money they received. But it acts as a tool for the committee, educating them on different parts of and functions of historic preservation, specifically related to certified local governments. We just did a certificate of appropriateness. That's mentioned on page 6. of the report, who applied for certificate of appropriateness is 71% with private building owners, similar to what we had tonight. Yes, types of COA projects, the majority are residential. I would assume because a lot of projects happen in residential neighborhoods. And
it's interesting how 98% are approved certificate of.
Yeah.
The statewide statistics.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of legislation recently at the state level, and I say recently, it's been passed probably 5 years or so. And it's trying to paint the picture that certificate of appropriateness process adds a lot of time and hardship maybe to a property owner. And so I guess these are just some statistics, again, arming the Historic Preservation Committee with information. So, yeah, it does add time. It's true. But I think through the process, you are able to educate a homeowner that may not be familiar with that. And the majority of them end up being approved anyway. So. And then there's different case studies for different projects throughout the state. A couple of them, like Oshkosh, they talk about a plaque program. The city provides funds to allocate to older properties a plaque recognizing the home, and it's pretty minimal and may seem insignificant to a lot of people, but I think to the property owner it does give that source of pride in the property, and maybe encourages them to then continue to maintain the property as historic. There's different facade programs throughout the state for historic properties. That's a lot of times in more commercial-related areas, so maybe not relevant to us as much. But the city of Green Bay did take a portion of their stadium tax money, and they did create a revolving loan program to assist homeowners in different property owners in restoring their historic homes. They also mentioned the city of Green Bay's Hotel Northland and YMCA project, both of which were larger projects that received the tax credits. The YMCA was a unique project because that's a nonprofit. Typically, nonprofits aren't eligible for the tax credits, but they were able to structure the agreement through a lease and kind of above my understanding, but it was unique and funded a good project. And then they kind of end with different outreach efforts that you could try doing. The city of Eau Claire partnered with UW-Eau Claire in being a resource as far as marketing the historic homes. And then let's see, somewhere Stowen. They set up at farmers markets. Unique approach, I guess. But so I guess this is just feel free to take this home. And but again, just expanding a little bit more on what we discussed or that piece of paper from July. So.
Trevor, did you pass this out when we were at the meeting in July? Seems like I have one.
Okay. I may have.
I don't remember.
I don't know. I had the six, so maybe I give one to you.
I think I have one. So
okay.
I should return this thing.
Well, if you want to keep it, that's fine.
I only need two.
Okay.
You may want someone else may want it.
So, I guess, are there any questions or any discussions?
guess if there are no questions, we'll move on to item number 8. Action regarding 2020 meeting schedule.
I just threw this on here. I know the past year or two we've been operating at the quarterly meeting cycle. Is that still pretty good for everyone? I mean, we always have the opportunity to meet every month, and I do appreciate everyone making the time to meet this month because of the pressing issue, but I think it kind of works. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does this meeting date work good for our village board representative?
I don't know.
Since he hasn't been here.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't look back at the minutes, but I haven't seen him at a meeting, so I know sometimes that can be an issue.
Sure.
Me, it kind of doesn't work out for them. I mean...
Yeah,
I'll reach out,
and yeah.
But wouldn't the meeting be here if he was at a different meeting?
Or maybe he has another commitment outside of.
He may have, yeah. Yeah, we'd like to have him.
Yeah.
We're missing that connection with the village board by not having him present. So. All right.
I'll reach out.
I mean, obviously, yeah. You're right. Today is kind of a weird day that we normally.
We wouldn't normally
but
have
even
a,
just
yeah, but the normal.
But
meeting,
even on Wednesday.
Yeah, the normal.
Does he come on Wednesday?
I don't. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, he hasn't been here for a while.
Been here in a while, so. Yeah,
I'll reach out.
It's worth making a contact.
Yeah, because usually it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
You're right. Today's Monday.
Yeah, this is normally when we have the plan commission meeting on Monday.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and if anything,
I almost brought the wrong stuff with me. Mm-hmm.
If anything, we can adjust the schedule after the January meeting.
Yeah.
Does this time work out for everyone?
Yeah,
I know a couple of years ago we had the meetings at 5:30, and then we kind of changed it to try and accommodate more public participation. And I don't know if we necessarily achieved that, but if it is 6 to 6 p.m. is
either
easier
time
for
us.
Yeah.
Okay.
6 is okay.
Okay.
But yeah, either time.
Okay.
Either time.
Sometimes
I'm running late from the 5:30
meeting, so
I guess
maybe
6 is good. All right, that works for me.
So what would be our schedule then? Do we know yet for 2020?
It would be January, April, July, and October.
January, April, July, and October.
I can get you the dates exactly.
Okay.
Be January 22nd.
Okay.
April 22nd. July, that doesn't seem right. July 22nd. And October
28th. That one might be a problem for me, but we'll see.
You got nothing going on. Leading up to it at all.
No. I think we may have a budget meeting that day for some reason.
Okay.
Because it conflicts with the election.
Mm. Well, we can always adjust.
Yeah.
You're excused.
So, are we okay with 2020? Yep. Okay then. Item number 9, discussion regarding projects and properties update. We have a CLG grant for Robinson Hill Historic District nomination.
Yeah, I was hoping by now, especially because we were delayed a week and a half, I was hoping by now I'd have an update from the state. I haven't received anything yet. They do meet in December, so we would have been notified if we were on that agenda, which we weren't. So when I had last spoke with them back in May, they had thought we would be on this agenda, and if not, then we'd be on the first one in 2020. So that's going to be my assumption, but I'm also going to follow back up with them as well.
And then what time then would we be thinking about doing, you know, assuming it's in 2020, what time of the year would we be doing what we did at Miramar, you know, where we had a gathering and mm-hmm. recognize, you know, sometime in the summer or six months?
So once the state, if the state approves it, then the National Park Service has 90 days to give their stamp. So they actually then we, you know, once we get past the state level, then we have a defined timeline. So say that's, I think that's March, then they would meet, maybe. So June for sure.
So warm enough so we could have an outdoor event like we did last for the one.
Yes. And we do have money in the budget for that. For this signs, at least, the new signs.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, no, that. Good.
And then I think next year we can also start talking about maybe another project if we want, if we're ambitious enough. We typically with the CLG program, they award every other year.
Mm-hmm.
So this past 2019 was our off year, I guess. Mm-hmm. So then 2020 would be our year to apply.
So we should be thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the third of the three proposed districts by the Tennessee survey was one that I don't think was. That was at Sunset Circle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that there was any interest among the residents of that neighborhood when you were checking. So
yes,
it might mean that we go elsewhere. We can define it ourselves too, right? We don't have to have somebody do a study, or do we?
So
to say here's a street or a neighborhood or that we'd like to consider as a potential district. What do we have to do to have the authority to actually move forward with it?
It actually has to be identified in a intensive survey report for the architectural. Now you can try and make the case that maybe there's another reason why it should be listed.
That's the main reason.
Yeah.
Probably. I know Jim at one point was thinking that the Sunlight Park district that, you know, celebrated its 100th anniversary. But when you investigated, you know, you can see that, you know, it was built over too many decades of time and there were too many modifications to some of the original homes.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting as it may be, you know, didn't look like that would be one that we could. And again, nobody's. That was our own. we did our own survey and see how we like it. Okay. So we have to talk. We'll have to decide how to move forward. And how about single family homes? Then we have a list still from the intensive survey that hasn't been acted on.
Mm-hmm.
So we might want to kind of pursue some of those.
Yeah, I believe we had 13 structures.
Yeah, there were 13.
They were individually eligible.
Yeah. So we can bring those up again and see if there's an interest. And, you know, I think there was a priority or a matter of funding last year, wasn't it, where all the money was going towards districts and rather than single family nominations, home nominations, something like that. So.
Yeah, how they list, how they rank the projects.
Yeah, the priority of accepting. Yeah, so maybe that'll change next year. Okay. Something for our agendas. Anything else on this item? Okay, so and item number 10, next meeting date and agenda items. The next meeting date is 22nd of January. And if we have any items on the agenda, then, or if we, well, maybe Robinson Hill, maybe Trevor can update us on the status of that, the nomination papers. Anything else that anybody can think of that we should put on our agenda for January? At least the days will be getting lighter. They'll be getting lighter. Right? Okay. Getting lighter. If not, we're ready for item number 11. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Nobody ever opposes. Thank you.